This is the Pulse of New Hampshire. I am J-Dog, and joining me right now for Northeast Delta Dental Radio is a host, an author, a doting grandfather, Eddie Papowski's number one fan, a baseball awards presenter. He also is the president and the CEO of Northeast Delta Dental and the host of Northeast Delta Dental Radio, a true Renaissance man, Mr. Tom Raffio. Tom, how are you?
Good morning, Jay. And you know what's great about you, besides your great radio voice, is that you bring the stuff up to date. So, you know, I just presented the Gold Crown Award to Ryan Gold of the Fisher Cats, and therefore you added it to the introduction. So that was great. That was a great event at Delta Dental Stadium to see.
Great weather, too, wasn't it?
Great weather. See Wade Boggs and
the
spaceman Bill Lee in his sort of yellow attire.
Savannah Bananas uniform.
There you go. But he, I actually talked with him, and I know he had a medical issue not too long ago, but he was he was pretty lucid, so it was good. But this weekend, today and this weekend is with me is Shelby Cody, who is the director of programs at Special Olympics in New Hampshire. So, Shelby, thank you for joining me. How are you doing?
Thanks for having me, Tom. I'm doing well. How are you?
Fantastic. Of course, Special Olympics is near and dear to, you know, my heart and to Delta Dental, including we did a sponsorship for Delta Dental Plano, New Jersey for Special Olympics in New Jersey not too long ago. But closer to home, tell us about your background and how you came to Special Olympics New Hampshire.
Yeah, absolutely. So I got started with Special Olympics actually out in Colorado. I worked for our city parks and rec department, and as part of my role was coordinating two of the sports teams that we had for Special Olympics Colorado. So I was part of the Lakewood Lightning. I coached, I was a unified partner at one point, and I co-coordinated our program. Really, I love Special Olympics. It's super near and dear to my heart. So when my husband and I made the move to New Hampshire, I had reached out and kind of waited until there was a position available and got started as the field services manager about a year ago.
Awesome. And so there's only two states I would live in, New Hampshire and Colorado. So you hit them both. So what brought you to New Hampshire?
I've got some family. My husband has some family in Rhode Island. My family's originally from Wisconsin. And with the pandemic, we just, you know, we knew we wanted to be a little closer to family. Being in Colorado, we were pretty far from both. So we couldn't say goodbye to the mountains, and the ocean was a bonus. So New Hampshire really felt like the perfect fit for us.
Yeah. And for so many of us that once we live here, we say, oh my God, this is the place to be. And if you need to go to Boston, you know, it's an hour down 93, at least if you get to the outskirts of Boston, then it might take you another hour to go 5 feet, but it is only, 60 miles up and down 93. So that's wonderful. So obviously, since you sort of ingrained with Special Olympics, you're into it. But is there anything particular about Special Olympics New Hampshire that has you set apart from other Special Olympics, or is it similar with a different flair? You know, I know for years we had the penguin plunge, et cetera. So tell us your sort of feelings of Special Olympics New Hampshire.
Absolutely. I think from the start of being involved with Special Olympics New Hampshire, even to today, the thing that really stands out to me is the sense of community that I would even just name a family. The Special Olympics New Hampshire family is really it's just incredible. The volunteers that serve our organization are so dedicated and so passionate, supporting the cause and spending so much time to serve our athletes in such a great way. But I know, you know, every nonprofit that utilizes volunteers could probably say something similarly, but I've just never felt such a strong sense of family. You know, we have athletes who give us a call to wish us a happy birthday, or, you know, I might have if I'm in the Seacoast area, I'm over in Hillsborough now, but if I'm in the Seacoast area, I might call up a volunteer and say, hey, you know, are we getting lunch today? You know, it's really such a sense of family. And everyone in it is here to serve the athletes in, you know, in so many different varied ways. But I think it's just really special.
Great. I'm going to ask this again, when we get to the second half of the show. But if I'm listening to this and, you know, want to donate or want to get involved, maybe what are my next steps? Because you've already, I know, energized the listening audience. So you're going to get some volunteers coming out of this show or someone that wants to write a check. So let's start there. How is Special Olympics funded? Because I always get that question. This is a typical New Hampshire question. So tell us about that. And then we'll take the other two questions. If I want to donate, how do I do that? And if I want to volunteer, how do I do that?
Yeah, absolutely. So we are a nonprofit, so we're always accepting donations. There's a couple different things that you can do. So we have events throughout the year that you can tag into. Our Penguin Plunge and our Winnie Dip are our biggest opportunities to really get in it, jump in the ocean, jump in Lake Winnipesaukee, raise donations for Special Olympics. But we also have events throughout the year. We have Applebee's Tip-A-Cops. We have our one going on right now is our LETR Pick Your Prize raffle. I will say the prizes are, I'm going to be buying a couple tickets myself. You know, there's a Reed's Ferry raffle or Reed's Ferry shed that's being raffled off. There's a couple paddle boards. There's an adventure package, a grill. It's pretty cool. So we have events that run throughout the year. But then we have opportunities where if you want to sponsor a local program, which is the programs that are throughout the state, people typically consider them a team, but our name is a local program. So if you want to sponsor a local program, if you want to support with sponsoring an event, we have competitions throughout the year. Those are different opportunities. We have a spot on our website where you can donate today. So definitely go check that out. And the Pick Your Prize raffle is right there at the top. So go check out those prizes. In terms of how to get involved as a volunteer, I think something really great about Special Olympics is we want people to really feel successful and excited about the work that they're doing. So if your interest is supporting an athlete directly, we have opportunities where you can work with an athlete directly with a local program, so those teams throughout the state. If you want to be helping at a basketball practice or you want to become a coach and you have experience coaching, those are opportunities. If your thing is administrative work, you're an organizer, you want to be that behind the scenes person, we have opportunities for that as well. If you're excited about events, we have events throughout the year, whether it's a competition or whether it's a fundraiser. You know, really our hope is for every volunteer that touches this organization to find the perfect fit, right? So we'll talk to you about if you're excited about working with people, let's find a role for that. If you're an organizer, we've got projects where we're organizing our sports equipment or our inventory or, you know, behind the scenes stuff that we'll find a fit for you, whatever your interest is.
Well, I can see Mary made the right hire in you, Shelby, Cody. I mean, you're... Your passion is endless. So the website is sonh.org. That's pretty easy. That stands for Special Olympics New Hampshire, but use the acronym sonh.org. And the phone number is area code 603-624-1250. That's 603-624-1250. Again, the website is sonh.org. So you were talking about the events, and I know there's a certain thrill with an event, you know, whether it's the Penguin Plunge or the other ones you mentioned, that when it goes off without a hitch. So you have a combination of great camaraderie, execution of the day, but also fundraising. And I'm assuming that those events, as you basically alluded to, really are important to fill up, you know, your the revenue side of your budget, correct?
Absolutely.
So, can you as we about to emerge to our break, one of the local athletes was recently featured as with the running skills. So let's talk about his running skills, and then we'll when we see J-Dog, we'll go to break.
Perfect. Now, Tom, can you imagine doing 20 marathons in less than 15 years?
No, I mean,
well, Thomas Cantera is about to run his 20th marathon this October.
Wow.
Yes. So Thomas Cantera, he was part of our Team New Hampshire that went to the USA Games this past June, but he is an avid runner. He participates with both our Nashua local program and our Manchester local program. And he, as of this spring, just ran his fifth Boston Marathon. He did the 2020 virtual one and four others. He also has PR'd at the Boston Marathon. And in total, he's, as of this October, he'll have completed or has participated in 20 marathons.
Wow.
That's impressive.
That's terrific. My wife is one of those sort of marathon fanatics too, but that's incredible. And I'm sure that there's got to be some Guinness World Record for a Special Olympics athlete for that. So was Thomas always interested in running, or did Special Olympics get him involved with running?
So I had the opportunity to chat with Thomas at one of our USA Games training camps. And he told me he got involved in running, I want to say it was just about 10 years ago or so, or maybe 10, 13 years, somewhere in that window. So he wasn't always interested, but once he got interested, he was pretty hooked and has just kind of taken his career from there, you know, getting into more and more racing.
He found the bug and that he has the gift. So
no kidding.
SONH.org. And Jay, I'm energized. I'm ready to, I wish it was winter already so I could dive into the ocean for the penguin plunge.
Every winter that happens. And I just love the pictures when people, they realize, oh yeah, I'm in really, really cold water. But again, it's helping Special Olympics. All proceeds, and it's a great organization, Special Olympics New Hampshire. Shelby Cody of Special Olympics New Hampshire, the guest this week on Northeast Delta Dental Radio. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll have more of Tom talking to Shelby here on the Pulse of New Hampshire. Welcome back. It is Northeast Delta Dental Radio here on the Pulse of New Hampshire. I am J-Dog, and this week's guest on Northeast Delta Dental Radio is Shelby Cody of Special Olympics New Hampshire. SONH.org is the website if you want to there's tons of events going on. There's always something going on that website. And Tom, take it away.
Thank you. Don't you think, Jay, that Shelby has enough passion combined with compassion, a perfect fit for Special Olympics? And I'm sure the state of New Hampshire would love to have that website that you guys have. So that's pretty cool. SONH.org. Now, we're talking about Thomas and the local athletes who is a phenomenal marathoner. But let's talk about Team New Hampshire in general that competed in the 2022 USA Games in Orlando. And what were some of the other highlights that you'd like to share with some of the other athletes, or just the overall milieu of the whole process? Because I'm sure that it had been had taken some bit of a pause during COVID, so it was probably great to get back together again.
Yeah, absolutely. So really, with the pandemic, we took a pretty big pause from competition. So the USA Games was really so exciting to happen this last June. We sent our largest delegation ever. So on average, I think one of our delegations typically are around 40 or 50. We sent a delegation of 116 people to Orlando, Florida. We had athletes that were competing in 10 different sports. We had youth leaders as a part of our delegation. We brought back 135 medals total. It was really, wow, really exciting. I think one of the highlights too of Team New Hampshire was throughout the whole week, it was always Team New Hampshire as a whole. You didn't see, you know, it was the basketball team or the golf team. It was really 116 people who cared about each other, were so excited to be going through this experience of a lifetime together, and really brought their all to the competition. The other thing that was really great about the USA Games is it wasn't just the competition. There were so many other things, again, kind of bringing together that experience of a lifetime. So athletes got to go to Magic Kingdom. They got to go to a big family night at Animal Kingdom. There was also the Healthy Athletes experience. So athletes got to go through, if you're not familiar with Healthy Athletes, their medical screenings and activities to kind of focus on different medical pieces for athletes participating in Special Olympics. So some of our athletes came back with brand new pairs of glasses, custom hearing aids, shoes that fit their feet, whether their feet were different sizes or not. So at the at the foot, the podiatry screening station, they really like looked at what the size of your foot is, measured it, and then found a pair of shoes, no matter what the size were for each feet, and got you a pair of shoes that fit your feet. I mean, it was really, again, the experience of a lifetime.
A lot of team bonding, it sounds like. Mm-hmm. That's incredible. You know, I want to mostly look forward, but let's just take a pause. So since you mentioned the pandemic and of course everybody's lives were turned upside down. Mm-hmm. So how did you all, keep it together from, March 2020 to, recently? How did it all fit together and keep together? Obviously, certain things became virtual, et cetera, mm-hmm. and the pandemic accelerated maybe some trends that were already underway. But how did you all keep it together?
Yeah, absolutely. So our top priority through everything was really keeping our athletes and our volunteers safe. So we did take a pause on the in-person competition and training. Through the pandemic, we had offered some at-home fitness challenges. So really a way to keep our athletes and our volunteers engaged, healthy, active, because we recognized at some point we hope to get back to in-person training. And that meantime of continuing to train at home, whether or not we're having in-person competition, was vital to make that transition back to the in-person training so much smoother. So far we've done the Granite State Restart, Hope Challenge 1, Hope Challenge 2, and Fueling Engine. So four different at-home fitness challenges that all kind of were a little bit different, but athletes and volunteers and really community members as well were able to sign up, track their points for different physical activities or health and well-being activities that they did throughout their week, and then earning incentives based on certain levels that they reached in their points. So those were the ones we've done so far. We do have some kind of in the works for now through the rest of 2023. But those at-home fitness challenges were really our opportunity to kind of keep people engaged, keep people healthy and active. We have some athletes who really took it seriously. One of our athletes is actually he's featured on one of our blogs, John, who ended up losing a boatload of weight. He took the challenge seriously and said, man, this is my opportunity to get on track and lose weight and be healthier and be able to do these activities that I love. Again, he was also one of our Team New Hampshire athletes for powerlifting. And he really, he's told us before that the fitness challenges were really one of those opportunities for him to take control of his health, right?
A transformational, definitely.
Absolutely.
Wow, what a beautiful story that is. So the website again is sonh.org and the phone number is 624-1250. Thinking in terms of October forward, what are some of the next big events for Special Olympics New Hampshire?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have spent this whole summer really gearing up for in-person competition again. So we have two competitions at the end of September. We have our state softball tournament, and we have our track and our bocce rescheduled tournament from spring. Come November, we have our state bowling tournament, which will be at various locations throughout the state.
Now, is that big balls or candle pins?
Both.
Both. All right.
Good question.
Pins, which is quintessential, you know, New England.
I didn't know it about until I moved here.
Okay, good. Because there's a famous book by written by Mike Moran on candle pins and how it is quintessential New England. So I was going to stump you with the candle pin. You were all over it. So
I was ready for it.
So it's both big balls and small balls. So tell me, but I'm really curious about the bowling tournament. So.
Yeah. So there are some of our bowling alleys are specific candle pins. Some of them are specific 10 pin. So our official state bowling tournament day is November 12th. And it's throughout the state. So we have some that are, Exeter, Bowling Lanes, for example, is one of our candle pin sites. So programs throughout the state will sign up for the site based on what kind of bowling they do. And then day of, they show up at their bowling alleys, they do their tournaments, and then, we have all the divisions and do the awards day of. So,
wow. Yeah. That's great, because bowling is a proxy for how connected society is. There's a famous book called Bowling Alone, and when more people are bowling, the social fabric of of United States culture is more together. So I'm really glad that it must be really cool because everybody can bowl, right? I mean,
yeah. And I mean, the nice thing with bowling too, I mean, with a lot of sports, they're able to be adapted. But you know, you have bowling ramps and most bowling alleys are fairly accessible, or they have ways that they can make it accessible. So yeah, absolutely.
Now tell me about I think you mentioned softball too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's one of my daughters played, and it's still one of my passions. So where are those events held, and how does those go?
Yeah. So the softball is September 24th, and it's held at Laffa Fields in Londonderry. Fusion Softball actually hosts our softball tournament for us. So they do a great job. They've done it for a couple years. Pandemic, we had a couple, you know, a little break there. But they do a great job. They know our athletes well. And we do some on-site divisioning. We do a softball turn, or the you know, medal rounds in the afternoon. And it's a great, I think right now we've got 7 teams in our tournament. Wow. So yeah.
What was the venue again in the age groups?
Laffa Fields. And the age groups, I don't know exactly who's, you know, the age groups of who's registered, but really our community programs are from 8 and up. So for the most part, I think the majority for the softball tournament, I think, are 20 to 40. But yeah, once an athlete turns 8, they're eligible to compete at the state or at the area or state level with our local program.
Wow. So that's Laffa Fields. So if you're listening to this on the 24th, you can go and visit. So, okay. So your title is Director of Programs. And of course that's fund development as well. I know. So this is your pitch for why should a corporation or a citizen donate to Special Olympics? We all have, there's so much need out there, you know, food insecurity, homelessness. Mm-hmm. But I can think of no other rewarding organization to donate to than Special Olympics New Hampshire. But so give us your minute pitch on that.
Okay. I would say Special Olympics is so much more than sports training and competition. I think that's what comes to the forefront. But really, like I mentioned earlier, the healthy athletes, the leadership training, there's so much that Special Olympics does to provide opportunities for folks with intellectual disabilities really to reach their highest potential and feel included in the community, on a sports team, you know, in the classroom, in leadership opportunities, in their employment. You know, so really, if you think about donating to Special Olympics, know that you're really helping someone reach their highest potential. You know, folks with intellectual disabilities are less likely to access health screenings. So in terms of that, the healthy athletes experience, again, people are able to go to a healthy athletes experience at a competition and potentially come out with a new pair of glasses or a new hearing aid that they might not have been able to access otherwise, or not for a long time. So, you know, whatever donation you're willing to consider, it's going to make an impact on not only one athlete, but athletes statewide in the Granite State.
It's transformational. It's population health. Jay, I think Colorado's loss was New Hampshire's game with this Shelby Cody, don't you think, Jay?
I agree. She left the mountains for more mountains here in New Hampshire.
And she's climbing them with doing terrific work for Special Olympics New Hampshire. Again, the website is sonh.org. The phone number is 624-1250. We need some more volunteers. Let's donate. Thank you, Shelby. Jay.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, Shelby. And for Shelby Cody of Special Olympics New Hampshire and Tom Raffio, the president and CEO of Northeast Delta Dental and the host of Northeast Delta Dental Radio, I'm J-Dog. Stay tuned for another edition next week of Northeast Delta Dental Radio here on the Pulse of New Hampshire.